Okay, we're in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. It says there in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And what I'm going to preach on this evening is the essential ingredients to preaching. The essential ingredients to preaching. I want to talk about what is biblical preaching, but first I'm going to talk about why we need biblical preaching. And you may think to yourselves, well, you're preaching to the choir. You know, we are obviously here on a Sunday night because we esteem the preaching of God's word. We want to hear preaching. We want to be edified. We want to know what the Bible says about different issues of life. We want to learn doctrine. But it's important that we always reiterate what's important in the Christian life. And one of the most important things in the Christian life is preaching, you understand? And a lot of times, you know, especially today in the day and age in which we live, there's a lot of churches out there who want to minimize the importance of preaching. And they minimize it by cutting down on how much content is in preaching, what they say in their sermons. Maybe they don't want to preach specific controversial topics and subjects. But the reality is this, is the Bible still tells us, as it says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, that we should be instant in season, out of season. We should always preach God's word, no matter what time it is, no matter what year it is. It's always relevant. It's always essential. But why do we need to preach? Why do we need biblical preaching? Well, look at chapter number 3, if you would. And I want you to notice verse number 16. When talking about the word of God, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the man of God there, you know, obviously could be referring to a pastor, since we're in the pastoral epistle, so to speak. But, you know, it should be our goal as men, just in general, whether you're a pastor, deacon, evangelist, or just a church member, to be a man of God. Amen. You know, our desire, our goal should be to be a man of God, a woman of God, because that title simply means a person who has dedicated their lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, right? To be a servant, meet for the master's use. And so in order to be a man of God who is perfect, thoroughly furnished, we need all scripture, okay? So first and foremost, let me just say this by way of introduction. Why do we need biblical preaching? Well, number one, because it perfects believers. Now, we obviously understand that, you know, as Christians, we're to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And we can talk about all day long the importance of reading your Bible every single day. And let me just do a little commercial break on this particular point right here. You should be reading the Bible every single day. Okay? You attend an independent fundamental Baptist church. You have the King James Bible. You have salvation. You have all the necessary tools in your life to perfect you. But let me just say this, is that it's still your responsibility. That when you go home and you wake up tomorrow morning or you go to sleep at night, you crack open the Word of God and you read it. Amen. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people who just depend on preaching to be fed spiritually. They depend on preaching. They depend on singing songs, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, seeking to make a melody in their hearts unto the Lord. They depend on spiritual conversations. But at the end of the day, it's important that you sit at the feet of Jesus to hear His word personally. Okay, that you walk with God, that you open the Word of God, you give attendance to the Word of God. You have a time in your life where you just spend time reading the content of the Bible itself. Okay, but in context of what we're looking at here, it's actually referring to preaching. Now, we obviously understand that reading the Bible personally on a day-to-day basis will perfect you, right? It'll perfect you. It'll mature you. But here's the thing, is that God did institute something called the local New Testament church, which is the pillar and ground of truth, where there's a particular pastor who is preaching God's word to perfect you, right? And so the reason we need biblical preaching is because it perfects the believers. It fills in the gaps of our deficiencies, okay? When we read the word of God, we're reading it, we are learning the stories, we're learning principles, but it actually requires someone outside of yourself to point out your flaws, to point out your deficiencies, to point out the areas that you're lacking in, and it requires a little bit of discomfort. And let me just say this, is that preaching that's not uncomfortable, I wouldn't say is preaching at all. Because preaching should make you uncomfortable. Why? Because we're preaching on sin, we're preaching on the flaws, we're preaching on the areas in your life that are deficient of a spiritual virtue, a spiritual quality that you need in your life. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1, 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you would. 2 Peter chapter number 1. So why is biblical preaching important? Well, number one is because of the fact that it perfects you, okay? You know, and we shouldn't be here just to be entertained by preaching. Preaching can be entertaining. We should be here because we want to add that which is lacking in our faith. We want to learn something. We want someone, listen to this, to step on our toes every once in a while. Okay, we want someone to say, hey, you need to wake up, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We need to talk about women being in submission to their husbands, husband loving their wives as Christ also loved the church, the importance of having a burden for the lost, and so many other topics. We need to just constantly talk about this on a daily or weekly, yearly basis. It's important. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Where do I have you turn? 2 Peter or 1 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, look what it says, add to your faith. So the Christian life is a life of addition. Constantly adding things to your life. We don't arrive to the Christian life ready-made. Right when we get saved, everything just comes included. We need to continuously add to our faith, right? He says, add to your faith virtue. Verse number 5, beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So here's the thing. If you ever feel like, well, you know, I've already arrived. I know all there is to know about the Word of God. Well, wrong, because you still got to add all these things. And I don't think anybody in this room can look at verse number 6 and 7 and say, well, I have all these down packed already. I have knowledge, I have virtue, I have godliness, I have patience, I have brotherly kindness, I have charity. I already have all these things. Well, no, we don't. These are things that we have to continuously work on and add to our faith. And if we, you say, well, how do I know if I'm not adding? Well, are you unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you barren? He says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. That's interesting. So the person who thinks that they have all these things is actually blind. Because they can't even see that they're in a bad position in their Christian life where they're not adding to their life. They're not growing. And so what preaching does is it tells you, hey, you need to be a little more charitable. Hey, you got to have some brotherly kindness. Hey, you need to be able to endure a little bit. You're kind of a quitter. You know, you have a tendency to throw in the towel a little too soon. You need some patience in your life, some endurance in your life. You need some consistency in your life. And here's the thing. If you want to do God's will, if you love the Lord and you love the Bible, it may sound bitter to you, but you know that it's true. You think to yourself, you know what? It's true. I do need to work on that. Lord, help me to work on this matter of patience, brotherly kindness, etc. This is why we need biblical preaching, because it reminds us of what we are deficient of. And may we never think that we come to church ready-made, you know, everything's just, all our ducks are in order, there's no problem, you know, we don't have any issues or any problems in our life. We should come with a desire to fill in the gaps of our deficiencies, okay? And so go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. Why do we need biblical preaching? It perfects the believers. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter number 4 that pastors and teachers, evangelists, they're given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And a few verses down, it tells us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God's desire is that you would mature spiritually, that you would be perfected and completed. Well, according to the Bible, that requires your local New Testament church. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we need to exhort one another daily. And you can't really grow unless you have someone who's there telling you, hey, you need to work on this. And let's just be honest, we don't really like that. I know I don't. I mean, how many of us can really say, I like it when people tell me I'm wrong about something and I need to fix this? No one does. No one likes someone coming to them and saying, hey, you're deficient in this area. You need to work on this. You lack a little bit of character in this area, buddy. You know, no one really likes that. But you know what? If you want to grow in your Christian life, that's actually what you need to hear. Okay? So it perfects the believer. It fills in the gaps of their deficiency. It helps them. It helps us to be complete. That's why we need biblical preaching. But not only that, it makes believers meet for the master's use. It says in verse 17 of chapter number 3 that the man of God may be perfect, meaning complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So aside from the fact that God wants you to be a mature Christian, it's not just so you can be like a trophy of a Christian. It's like, oh man, I got virtue, I got knowledge, I got holiness, and then there's just nothing to it after that. No, he does it so you can be meet for the master's use. The reason he wants to clean you up, the reason he wants you to be godly, the reason he wants you to have knowledge, the reason he wants you to be a great Christian is so he can use you to reach other people. So always understand this is the reason God has removed certain deficiencies from your life or added virtue to your life and made you the great Christian you are today is not so you can sit on a shelf somewhere as a trophy for God. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's to be used. Amen. It's like, you know, you think about your possessions. You think about the most expensive possession that you have. I mean, if you had an expensive possession, you know, I don't know how you are, but for example, let's say a phone. Okay, I don't know how much a phone is. How much was this phone? What is this, like $1,000 or something like that? I utilize this thing to the better end. It's getting used for every single thing. It's not like, well, I just don't want to use it. You know, I just want to make sure I can only make phone calls on it and make sure it's, you know. No, I'll use this thing till it breaks. Hey, vehicles, listen to this, are meant to be used till the wheels fall off, my friend. Well, you know, yeah, but I want to make sure that it's nice and squeaky clean. Yeah, that's great. I get that. But are you using it, though? The Bible talks about using the things of this world, obviously not abusing it, but using it. We don't want to be like the guy with the talent who hid his talent in the earth. You know, we want to make sure that we use the things that we have for the kingdom of God. Well, in like manner, you know, God wants to perfect us and make us gold and make us valuable so that we can be utilized. For what? To get people saved. Amen. For what? So you can be a light to this world and turn people to righteousness. For what? Well, because people are going to come to our church that once struggled or that do struggle with the particular sin that you used to struggle with. And now he wants you to help that person get over that sin and advise that person and counsel that individual and disciple that individual to lead them to righteousness. It's not so you can just put on a suit and just, you know, you got your stuff together and everything's, you know, roses and daisies for you. No, so you can be used, my friend. Okay? And so you can be thoroughly furnished unto all good. Listen to this. Works. Which is an action. Okay? Now, biblical preaching helps you with that. It tells you, get off your rear end, go soul winning, get off your rear end, go be a blessing to someone, go invest in someone's life, help someone get to the next level in their Christian life. Make sure that you're doing something and spending yourself in helping someone else grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay? And by the way, you know, you think about this. How do Christians who don't have a church know what is required of them when it comes to work? Because here's the thing. The greatest work comes from being sent out of a local New Testament church, right? Now, I understand, you know, there's Christians out there who, because of the internet, they can go soul winning, right? They can go soul winning, preach the gospel because they learned online or they've gone to some marathons or whatever it may be. But let's just be honest. The greatest training that you will ever receive as a soul winner is at a local New Testament church. Amen. I don't agree with that. Then just say you don't agree with the Bible. Because that's where you're supposed to get trained as a soul winner to be sent out of. The church sanctions you, deputizes you, trains you to be an effective preacher of the gospel to be sent out. You understand? And look, that's why we have teams here where specific individuals kind of watch over you and help you be a better soul winner. Amen. Okay, so you can go out and get people saved. You know, you need a local New Testament church in order to be perfected in that area so that you can do works meet for the master's use.
Amen.
Okay, and so, you know, these people who want to downplay church and say church is not that important, you know, and by the way, they'll say things like this, which is true. They say the people are the church. You know, Christians, believers are the church. Yeah, amen, when they assemble together. People, believers are the church. Yeah, when they're together in one place. Because you're not going to tell me that you believe in like a universal church. Well, all believers make up this universal church. The universal church does not exist, my friend. And this is not a sermon on the universal church, but if it, you know, the fact that people believe in a universal church contradicts the concept of church discipline, for example.
Yeah.
How do you throw someone out of a church if once you throw them out, they're still in? It's like you throw them out, like, sucker, I'm still in. Because believers are the church. No, a church is when people actually assemble together and there's specific elements that are needed to be a part of a specific church. You understand? Now, are we a part of the body of Christ? Absolutely. But when it comes to local, visible New Testament churches, you need a local body of believers to do so. Okay? So we need biblical preaching because it perfects the believers. It makes believers meet for the master's use. It trains you to be a good soul winner. It trains you to know how to deal with people. And look, let me just say this. That's very important to learn. How to deal with people. Or how to just be social. I mean, human beings just in general are social creatures, but not everyone is a social creature. You understand? They're more like a creature. Minus the social. And you know what they need? They need a local New Testament church to practice how to talk to people. You know, to look people in the eyes and shake their hands and learn how to spark up a conversation and ask them, how are you, and make friends. The local New Testament church is a great place to do that. He said, what does that have to do with preaching? Well, I'm preaching this to you to let you know about that. So you can be meet. So you can do that work. And be furnished into all good works there, okay? So we need biblical preaching because it perfects the believers. It makes believers meet for the master's use. But let me say this. We also need biblical preaching because it satiates the believer, okay? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at chapter 4 and verse number 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It is in my opinion and in my experience that if you don't feed your sheep biblical doctrine and content, they will look for it somewhere else. And unfortunately, they always look in the wrong places.
Right.
They go to these YouTube channels with a bunch of flat tards and, you know, Enoch, Book of Enoch believers and all this nonsense. Why? Well, because they're not satiated in their local New Testament church. They're not being fed at their local. Now, we'll say this. You know, I believe you guys get satiated every service, I hope. But I will say this. I feel like our church can sometimes even be gluttons when it comes to doctrine. You guys know what I'm talking about? Because I'll preach an entire sermon about like Daniel's 70th week, and I'll show all this cool stuff that I learned, and everyone's like excited about it. And then after service, I'm like preaching for another 2 hours. Because people are like, let's talk about it some more. Bunch of spiritual gluttons. But I'd rather have a spiritual glutton who wants to hear more Bible, more biblical content, than to have someone who just doesn't care about the Bible at all. They're just like, when's this sermon over? Because I got to go watch the game or something like that. And I don't even know if there's a game on tonight. I can care less. And if you care for that, get right with God. Who cares if there's a game? You know, we want to be the kind of church where we think upon the Word of God. We stand in awe of His Word. And here's the thing is that we want to be satiated when we come to God's house. We want to hear preaching and biblical doctrine and know what the Bible says. But even aside from that, think about this. When you are satiated doctrinally, listen to this. You know, biblical preaching will help people to identify bad preaching. So when you get the right kind of preaching, when you hear the wrong kind of preaching, it's like, whoa, this is bad. Good preaching, bad preaching. Biblical preaching, not biblical preaching. Okay? So once you get filled in with enough spiritual protein, you get your fats, and you get some good food, when someone tries to give you tofu, yep. The heck is this? It's like, I don't want to eat this. When someone tries to give you, what's that called? Almost meatless, or what is it?
Beyond meat.
Beyond meat? Yeah. It's like, what? This vegan chicken or something like that? By the way, isn't it funny that they want to make, these vegans want to make this food that's beyond meat while they're simultaneously saying that meat is murder? So what does that say about you, vegan? Are you like living out your fantasy or something like that of murdering animals? You weirdo. It was like, meat is murder, but give me beyond meat though. It's just like, so you want to act out. You want to pretend like you're eating, like you're murdering these animals, you sicko. Just eat the real deal. But it helps people to identify what bad preaching really is. And so if you're not diligent, if we're not diligent, or future pastors or whoever's out there listening, if they're not diligent in preaching God's word, your people will no longer endure sound doctrine. They can't handle biblical preaching. I can't take this sermon and just go to any regular Baptist church around here and just preach this. They wouldn't be able to endure it. They would be offended in the first 2 minutes. They can't, that's what it means to not endure. You understand? It says, for they would, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. What does heap mean? It means they'll just pile on false teachers. Just piles of false teachers. And it says they're having itching ears. Now this can mean one of two things. Either it means that they're going to heap to themselves teachers who have the itching ears. In other words, pastors who will basically just preach nice sermons because they want to have the admiration of men. They want to have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So they'll just say whatever the people want to hear in order to get people to admire them. Therefore, they won't preach anything negative. Okay? Because you think of an itching ear, it's like, man, if you have an itching ear, you know, if you scratch it, it satisfies you. It feels good, right? So the illustration that the Bible's using here, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, you know what's up. The illustration that God is using here is the fact that a pastor who has an itching ear will only preach that which feels good. Or the other interpretation could be that the person who is heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, they're the ones who have itching ears. They just want to hear what feels good. They want to hear the motivational speech. They want to hear positive things. They want to feel good when they go to church. And look, sometimes when you come to church, you do feel good. But I guarantee you there's times when you feel bad. You feel ashamed. You feel embarrassed. Well, that's not what church is for. Well, maybe not your church. But a church, according to the Bible, should have times when you don't feel comfortable. Okay? And so biblical preaching is necessary because of the fact that it helps people to identify this type of preaching. If not, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to collect a bunch of false teachers. And then ultimately, in verse number 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They will no longer be attracted to the truth. They will no longer, you know, try to go towards or want to hear what the Bible actually has to say. They prefer stories and fables and things that are not true, okay? So it's important that we have a balanced diet of preaching in our church. We got to talk about topical things. We got to talk about preach expository sermons. We got to talk about false doctrines. We have to talk about, you know, everything on the spectrum of what either is relevant today to 2022 or just things that are just in the Bible, period. We need to talk about everything, okay? This is why preaching is important. And look, this is why a lot of churches, a false prophet can go into a lot of these churches and just kind of be there and have free reign. Because the congregation is not trained to identify a false prophet and their false teaching. They don't know what it looks like. They just think, oh, he's weird. Or, oh, that's different. Or, I guess that's right. Why? Because their pastor is not giving them the doctrine necessary to identify it. So this is why we need biblical preaching, okay? That was all introduction. We need it because it perfects believers. It makes believers meet for the master's use. It helps us to realize, hey, you know, I'm here in this world to actually do something with my life. Okay? And I hope that when you come to church every week, week in and week out, you remember you're supposed to be doing something with your life.
That's right.
This is your weekly reminder to do something with your life. To be used of God, whether that means preaching the gospel to someone or discipling someone in our church. But pray to God, Lord, use me today to make an impact on someone's life. Help me to be a vessel meet for the master's use. Okay. And of course, as I mentioned, it satiates the believer. So what are some ingredients of biblical preaching? Well, look at verse number one. So after he talks about these things in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, talk about scripture and what it's profitable for. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore. And then he says in verse 2, preach the word. He says, because this is so valuable, because it has everything that pertains to life and godliness, therefore you need to preach the word. Okay? Amen. So the first thing I want you to notice is that biblical preaching never spoils. Never spoils. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? You can never go wrong on any topic in the Bible, no matter what year it is.
That's right.
You can talk about any subject in the Bible. It will always be relevant.
Amen.
You can talk about any doctrine. You can talk about any topic, any story, any testimony, and it will never go bad.
Right.
You can repeat a specific doctrine year by year, decade after decade, and it will never go bad. Why? Because it's instant in season, out of season.
That's right.
This is why we can preach from a book that's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old. Doesn't matter how old the content is, it will always be relevant to us today. Okay? It will never spoil. Go to Colossians chapter number 2, if you would. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And here's the problem with a lot of churches today is that they only want to preach that which is relevant. Not understanding that they can, if they actually use the Bible, what they refer to now is like movies. I was like, well, if I'm going to preach something that's relevant, I got to watch the new Batman movie or something like that. I got to watch Superman. I got to watch Spider-Man. And I got to make some sort of biblical application from those movies. I mean, that exists out there, right? Where they actually take a movie and they're like, I got to find some biblical principle from this movie or something like that. Oh, how about just the Bible?
Amen.
You know, and how about using some real life illustrations?
Amen.
Okay. But they do this because of the fact that they think that the Bible's not relevant enough. It's just not relevant. There's not enough in there. Well, if you would read it, you would actually find that there's a lot in there. Okay, look at Colossians chapter number 2. And let's start in verse number 3. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now there's two ways that you can interpret this term, spoil. Because in the Bible, you think of someone who would spoil a nation. In other words, they would take them captive, right? They would spoil their treasures and the people. They would take them captive. Well, that's kind of what happens when you have false teachers spewing out philosophies. You know, you have Jordan Peterson, for example, who a lot of people would esteem as being like, I don't know, some intellectual Christian or something. But he's a pseudo-Christian. He's not even real. He's a drug addict too. I'm not going to say he is because I don't know for sure. But I guarantee there's people in this room who actually like Jordan Peterson because I just got some looks right now. So let's go ahead and stay on Jordan Peterson right now. Hey, he's filled with philosophy and vain deceit.
Amen.
He shouldn't be a marker for us learning God's word. Why? Because he's puffed up.
Yeah.
Knowledge puffeth up, my friend. And just because he's able to articulate certain words and phrases a certain way because he hates feminism and he seems to have this biblical worldview doesn't make him right.
That's right.
You're being spoiled. You're being taken captive. And the Bible says, beware of that. He says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Now, another way to interpret this is when it says spoil, it means like rotten. It kind of just makes you rotten. It kind of makes you decrepit, and it destroys your knowledge. It destroys your faith. Why? Because you begin to place your faith in man's wisdom rather than in God's word. Okay. And you say, well, you know, I still like Jordan Peterson. You know, I think he's cool, and I think he makes some good points about abortion. Well, you know, the Bible actually makes a lot of good points about abortion, too. Yeah. Well, I just like what he says about feminism. I like what the Bible says about feminism, too. Amen. Okay, yeah, but, you know, I like what he says about masculinity. Well, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Amen. And by the way, Jordan Peterson, let's just be honest. Okay? I mean, need I say more? It's like, you're going to tell me how to be a man? And so, you know, that might be your favorite little philosopher who has all these Christian talking points. Don't be fooled by this philosophy in vain deceit, because it's cloaked in, you know, in Christianity. It's cloaked by him using Bible verses or Bible concepts. But the guy is a weirdo, okay? I've seen him say some weird things on these little videos that they put out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people, even in the new IFB, who like this guy. Just because he sounds smart or something. But folks, just because something, you know, the devil sounds extremely smart. Satan sounds extremely intelligent, because he is. We need to, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the rough.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says, okay? And so, sorry, but not sorry. So the ingredient of biblical preaching is that it never spoils. You could say the same exact thing a different way through the Word of God and still get the same results 2,000 years later. Now, obviously, you're going to have different problems in cultures, you know, throughout the decades. But at the end of the day, sin will still remain sin. Adultery is still adultery. Sodomy is still sodomy. You know, fornication is still fornication. Drunkenness is still drunkenness. These are all sins that are common to man and will carry through all generations. We will never be lacking in any content to preach to people, because people will struggle with adultery today just as they did 50 years ago.
Right.
Okay. The abomination of sodomy will exist today as it did 2,000 years ago,
yep.
4,000 years ago. Okay. And so it never spoils. And, you know, the reason it's important to say this is because sometimes people are ashamed to talk about God's word and ashamed to talk about it because they think it's like old fashioned. It's just, you know, kind of like old and archaic or whatever. Folks, the Bible is timeless.
Amen.
And if people would just read it, you know, it's better than a newspaper.
That's
way better than a newspaper, because it's actually more accurate than the newspaper itself. The newspaper obviously is going to lie to you and say all this. They have a different narrative. They're not going to give you the truth, okay? The Word of God, you can view the world in which we live through the lens of God's Word and know how to make the right decisions. We want to be like the sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times because we know the Bible, okay? And so God's Word never spoils. Preaching is always in season, okay? Now you think of, like, for example, fruit bears, you know, trees bear fruit at different seasons. The Word of God will always bear fruit in you. Amen. When you come and hear preaching of God's Word, it will always bear fruit. Go to Isaiah chapter 55, if you would. Isaiah chapter 55. When you're listening to the preaching of God's Word, mark it down. You will always benefit from it. You will always, it will always accomplish that which God has called it to do. It says in verse number 10 of Isaiah 55, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, I love this verse as a pastor. Because as a pastor, sometimes you think, am I getting through to some of these people here? You're not preaching God's word. I'm doing my best to try to, you know, preach righteousness and preach doctrine. Am I getting through to some of these people? Well, you know what? Regardless of what I think, if I'm getting through to them or not, the Bible says it always prospers.
That's right.
That's why, you know, never underestimate the power of sowing a seed when someone doesn't want to listen to you preach the gospel unto them.
Yeah.
Right? When you're at a door and they're like, not interested, just let me just leave you with one verse to think about. You think, well, what will that one verse do? Well, here it says that it shall never return back void. You don't know the power of a seed of one verse can do in the heart of a person, that when they're going through what my father-in-law used to call, you know, the season, that they're going through a season of life, or maybe they lose a lost loved one, they go through some financial struggle, they're going through some tribulation, that verse can come back into their mind and say, man, there's a person that gave me this verse. And then that causes them to really think upon eternal life. You know, and maybe they save that little invitation or something like that and come to church, or go online and type in Bible Way to Heaven or whatever it may be. But what I'm saying is this is never underestimate the power of God's word. Okay. And, you know, when I'm preaching God's word, there might be, you know, 10 people in here that are just spot on. There might be another 15 that are just thinking, what's for dinner? There might be another 20 that are just like, you know, I still think Jordan Peterson's great. Right? But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care, because of the fact that the Bible says here that when the word of God goes forth, it actually goes beyond my ability to instill into someone's heart. In other words, it doesn't matter how good or how bad my delivery is. If it's God's word, it will pierce through the heart, and it will accomplish that which God has called it to do. Go back to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy. So preaching is always in season. Now, obviously, you know, sometimes, because there's so many things to talk about, there's so many things to preach about, there's so many things to address, you can't fit it all into 1 year. You know, sometimes it's just like, I got to talk about this during this time, or I got to talk, you know, hey, June's coming up. You know, that's why I haven't been preaching on anything, because I'm just building up my wrath. Just building up my anger and my wrath. And it's my favorite time of the year, actually. It's my favorite time of year to just get off my chest everything I've been wanting to say for the entire year, you know? And so you say, why don't you preach on that every Sunday? Because there's other things to talk about.
Amen. That's right.
And we need to be a balanced church where we talk about everything,
amen,
not just a one-sided issue.
Right.
And we have June anyway, so we will not be lacking. But it's always in season, okay? Never spoils. But not only that, one of the ingredients, or should I say one of the essential ingredients to preaching, is that it has its ingredients of bitterness. So in order to have true biblical preaching, it has to actually be bitter. What does that mean? It has to not taste very well. It has to be uncomfortable. It kind of makes you uncomfortable, does not feel good at all. He says in verse number 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. He says exhort afterwards, but he doesn't say exhort, encourage, edify, but he does reiterate reprove and rebuke. So what does this tell us? It tells us that biblical preaching should actually be far more negative than positive. Now, people don't like that. People don't like that because, you know, bitterness. Understand? You know, they like their coffee with a bunch of creamer and sugar. They want to drink coffee. They want to drink good coffee, but they want to mask it. Oh, this is like the Jordan Peterson point right here. With sugar and creamer and melted plastic and all this. But you know what? Good coffee is meant to be drunk in black. That's where you got to learn to love the bitterness. And you know what? Preaching is very bitter. It can be very bitter. And in fact, when you read the Bible, there's a lot of bitterness in the Bible. How about this? There's a book called, guess what? The Book of Lamentations. You know what a lamentation is? I mean, someone who's just crying and sorrowful, and it's lamentable. He calls it the Book of Lamentations, where it's just crying and basically whining in a sense. How about the Book of Psalms? The Book of Psalms is a book filled with bitterness. where King David is just expressing the bitterness of his soul. Why? Because life is difficult, my friends. Life is hard. Life is filled with difficulties, trials, and tribulations. And we feel good when we read something that we can relate to, right? But even aside from that, you know, preaching, the reason it's bitter is because it's someone from this pulpit telling you you're wrong. You need to change that. Fornication is wicked. Being effeminate is wicked. Being a feminist is wicked. Amen. Not loving your wife is wicked.
That's right.
You know, not reverencing your husband is wicked.
Amen.
You're going against God's word. You know, long hair on men is wicked.
Amen.
Short hair on women is wicked.
Amen.
That's bitter. They start making that they start making that face like they're just having black coffee. But it's often bitter. But that's one of the main ingredients to biblical preaching. Okay. In fact, go to Titus if you would. Titus chapter 1, just a page over. In Revelation chapter 10, God tells John to eat the scroll or the roll, and it was sweet in his mouth, but then it became bitter in his belly, the Bible says. So the word of God, when it's preached, is like, yeah, it's sweet. But then once we start getting on your particular sin, that's when it becomes bitter. It's sweet when I'm talking about your husband. It's sweet when I'm talking about your wife. It's sweet when I'm talking about the church member that you know their particular sin. It becomes bitter in your belly when I'm talking about you.
That's right.
That's when it's like, oh, I don't know about that. It's like stripes to the inward parts of the belly, right? But folks, in order to have biblical preaching, you have to have this element here, okay? Look what the Bible says in verse 12. Actually, we'll start in verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, regardless of who he's addressing, whether it's the false prophets, the Pharisees themselves, or he's addressing the Christians, regardless of the matter, whoever he is rebuking sharply, let me just say this, either one will be sound in the faith after the rebuke. Because one of the byproducts or the result of being rebuked is that if you love the Lord, you will be sound in the faith. So in order to keep people sound in the faith, we have to tell them, correct them, rebuke them sharply. You know, you say, well, give me an example. Well, how about let's just talk about anime for a minute here. Right? It's like, in order to keep people sound in the faith at our church, we gotta preach against anime. And how wicked and stupid and violent it really is. And how you're a grown man. Shouldn't be watching anime. It's a cartoon. Put away the Pokemon cards and the Dragon Ball Z and the Yu-Gi-Oh, which is, by the way, super wicked.
That's right.
You know, because it deals with all this demonology and Egyptian gods or whatever. You say, why would you do that? Just to keep people sound in the faith. Right? Just make sure people are on the right track. Now, that was bitter. Some people were just like, that tasted nasty. I know likey this sermon. I don't like this part. Why? Because now it's in your belly as bitter, as bitterness. You understand? But sometimes I, as a pastor, have to have a pulse on some of the things that go on in our church in order to make sure that I preach on it so that people are sound in the faith, okay? All right, I'll get off of anime now, all right? I don't know much about it, okay? I think, you know, I watched Pokemon when I was like a kid, okay? I think I played the Game Boy, you know, but after a while, I remember thinking to myself when I was, you know, like 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, man, I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait to like be an adult. I literally remember as a teenager thinking, I can't wait to get married and have kids. I can't wait to actually, you know, be able to work a job and provide for a family. I actually had those desires. And I remember kind of despising the fact that I was like still a kid in a sense, you know. So I wanted to do things that were not kid-like. So that's why I stopped playing with toys and stopped watching cartoons. And, you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let me see if I struck a nerve with anybody over here. All right, I see one over back there. All right, let me just keep going on anime here. No, I'm just kidding. We do it so people are sound in the faith, my friend. Okay? And so put away the anime from among you. And by the way, you know, this is one of the reasons why we call preaching hard preaching.
That's right.
Right? You know, it's called hard preaching for a reason. And in fact, we get it from Jeremiah chapter 23, where the Bible talks about that God's word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It talks about, it likens it unto fire and unto a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And he even says, what is the chaff to the wheat? He's like, what's the difference between God's prophets and the false prophets? False prophets don't preach hard. False prophets don't have hard preaching. It's God's prophets that have the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You know, it breaks you down. Oh, you shouldn't go to church. You're trying to break people down? Yes. That's what God's word does. It breaks up the fallow ground of a hardened heart, for example. You know, because sometimes people can't have a hardened heart. They go through certain things in life, or they're experiencing bitterness or whatever it may be, and their heart becomes hardened, and it requires the hammer of God's word to break up that fallow ground, break up that hardened heart, to make it tender for the things of God once again. You know, sometimes we can become hardened for lost souls. We don't care as much that people are dying and going to hell. I mean, wouldn't you say sometimes that you get that way? You get apathetic regarding souls. Sometimes we go soul winning just out of responsibility, not necessarily because we actually love the people we're actually going to go preach to. It's just out of habit. You're a disciplined person. You go out, you preach the gospel. Well, you know, the hammer of God's word breaks up that hardened heart to remind you, hey, just to let you know, these people have souls. That teenager you led to the Lord will no longer go to hell. And there's many other teenagers out there that need you to give them the gospel, because if not, they will go to hell. Yep. You know, hell is a real place, and you know, it requires, you know, preaching that makes you uncomfortable. It's bitter. It's hard. But also, you know, hard preaching breaks up false doctrine.
Right.
Whenever there's a stronghold of false doctrine, like speaking in tongues, we need to grab the sledgehammer of God's word and just bash it to pieces. Just break it down. Just destroy it. Just dismantle the false doctrine. And you know what? When there's the false doctrine going around that you have to repent of your sins to be saved, you have to be baptized to be saved, you have to do all these things to be saved, we need to pull out the good old, you know, sledgehammer of God's word and just break that rock in pieces.
Amen.
Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and we break the rock in pieces. That's what hard preaching is.
Right.
So one of the essential ingredients to preaching is that it's bitter. Never despise bitter preaching. Learn to love, embrace, anticipate hard, bitter preaching. Because hard preaching, my friends, listen to this, changes lives.
Right.
It changed my life. Hard preaching is what kept me on track for the Lord. It's what kept me on track. Whenever I deviate from the things of God a little bit, hard preaching will bring me right back. Whenever I wasn't thinking right, or there was something in my heart that wasn't right, hard preaching will get me right back on track. It wasn't the cotton candy preaching that helped me get back on track.
That's right. Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. Because God loves you. That's not good for you. Don't do it. No, as a preacher, I was like, that's wicked.
Amen.
Don't be a fool. Fornication, drunkenness, adultery. These things are wicked. What does it cause you to do? It causes you to avoid sin and not go down those paths. Don't go near temptation. Why? Because you'll destroy your life. Don't go near temptation. You shouldn't do that. A little slap on the hand. Hard preaching is like, psh! Hard preaching is like a spinning back fist.
Yeah.
It's like a flying knee. You know, hard preaching reminds us that we should forgive. So that we're not bitter towards one another. A person who's bitter towards another individual needs hard preaching to remind them that you should forgive others as Christ hath forgiven you. And so the ingredients of hard preaching is that it never spoils. It's often very bitter. But not only that, listen to this. It also promotes healthy growth. Okay? Because it says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Okay? Obviously, exhortation is when you're built up. It's when you're growing. And so preaching can be like, it's like the amino acids of the body of Christ. Right? Preaching is like the amino acids of the body of Christ. It helps you build and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It helps you to add virtue and knowledge and growth. You learn the essential things of the Christian life. It just makes you a better person. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 5. Biblical preaching promotes healthy growth. So it never spoils. It's often bitter. But you know, it also promotes growth. It helps you to grow in the Lord. It keeps life exciting. You know, and you know, I like hearing preaching that's practical. But you know, I'll be honest with you. You know what I like? I like the deep stuff too, though. I like stuff that's not necessarily even applicable. It's just like for knowledge. Like when we go through like the book of Revelation and we just talk about like the deep things of God, you say, well, how can I apply this? Well, some of it you just don't apply. Some of it's just exhortative. It's just like, well, I was edified by that because I learned something new about the Bible. I said, well, how is that even good then? I'll tell you how it's good, because it leaves me in awe of the Bible. It gives me a greater appreciation for God's word. It makes me be like, man, I love the Bible. Man, the Bible's so deep. Man, I want to study the Bible so I can see those things too. It leaves me appreciating the Word of God that much the more. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to be able to apply it knowing that the Antichrist, you know, there's pictures of the Antichrist in the Old Testament. That Aaron, for example, pictures the Antichrist. Saul pictures the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar pictures the Antichrist. I'm not going to apply that in my life somehow. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and just be like, you know what, I'm going to apply that sermon. Like, how would I do that? You say, well, why preach it then? Because the Bible says, grow in grace and what? Knowledge. Did you know God wants you to be knowledgeable about the Bible? He actually wants you to know the Word of God. What makes you say that? Well, I don't know, there's like 66 books. Do you see how big this book is? This is a very big book. You know, and so he wants us to know more than just about salvation or even how to defend salvation. There's a bunch of other things in the Bible that he wants us to learn. Okay. And so, you know, that I consider that healthy growth, because when you are listening to preaching that's just imparting knowledge, but you balance it with applicable things and applicable sermons, then you have a healthy balance where you're learning God's word, but you're also learning how to be a good Christian. Because there's churches that only want to be practical, only application, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, and this is how you can do it. And they stay away from the deep things. Whereas the Bible says what? The Spirit searcheth all things. Listen to this. Yea, even the deep things of God. Okay? And so if it's available, I want to learn it. Okay? If I have the greatest commentator living within me, why not utilize the greatest commentator of the Bible to teach me what God's word says? You know, and let me just say this. It is a wonderful feeling to pray and say, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and have God teach you something out of the Bible and say, wow, that's amazing. And show that to my pastor friends, and they're like, I've never seen that before. That's awesome. That feels great, because that shows me that the Holy Spirit is still teaching me even 14 years later after me being saved and reading the Bible for 14 years. Okay. Promotes healthy growth. Where do I have you turn? Hebrews chapter 5. So, you know, preaching is like the amino acids of the body of Christ, because it promotes growth. Look what the Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 5. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you know what that tells me? We should eat the meat of God's word. You should read Leviticus. You should read Deuteronomy. You should familiarize yourself with the major and the minor prophets. Right. Yeah, but I like the book of Proverbs. Good. Now go read Zephaniah.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the prophets, I just like Daniel. Okay, good. But go read Zechariah.
Yeah.
Go read the hard stuff. But I can't understand the hard stuff. Then how do you expect to ever learn the hard stuff if you don't read the hard stuff?
Right.
You got to eat the meat.
Amen.
I didn't like eating liver when I first started eating it. It just didn't taste really good. That good. But now I eat it, you know, not every day, obviously, because I don't want to overload. But I eat it at least once a week. And you know what? I enjoy eating liver now. It's part of my life.
Amen.
Okay? My wife makes it to me on Thursday for my gains on Friday. And I eat it. It tastes great. So you have to train your spiritual palate for the deep things of God. And don't let it be a boring thing unto you. Let me just warn you. Don't ever let God's word, don't ever let your ears be dull of hearing.
Yeah, right.
Because God's word is God's word no matter what book we're preaching from. And it's going to promote healthy growth. It's going to exhort you. You know, it's going to give you that spiritual protein, that spiritual fat, that which is necessary to grow in your knowledge. Okay. You know, the Bible is for inspiration, but it's also for information as well. Okay, go back to 2 Timothy, if you would. But here's the thing. You know, if I'm on a Sunday morning preaching on end times prophecy, and I'm preaching through Revelation chapter 12, I would say, you know, a good amount of people will understand what I'm saying, but another good amount of people won't understand nothing of what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, I'm talking about the 1,335 days, 1,260 days. I'm talking about the 75 days, the 40 and 2 months. And I'm like, right? And all the Bible prophecy buffs are like, yeah, for sure. And some people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Just goes right over their heads, right? What does that tell us? It tells us that sometimes there's meaty preaching that is not easily digested, right? There's some preaching that's very deep or difficult that people have a hard time processing, spiritually speaking. So when it says here, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, it says reprove, rebuke, exhort, listen to this, with all long suffering. So, you know, we're not going to change the content of the preaching just to fit your needs because we have to preach to everyone in here, right? The meat's not going to change. I'm not going to start preaching to you from the King James Bible, the picture version or something like that. Okay, guys, this is what the Antichrist looks like. This is the beast that comes out of the sea. You know, I'm going to keep preaching with, you know, a lot of content, talking about end-times Bible prophecy, and you may not be able to digest it, but just as the meat, listen to this, just as the preaching of God's word is like the amino acids of the body of Christ, pastors are like the digestive enzymes that help you to process the information throughout time. Okay? Or it's like this, you know, raw milk, for example. You know, some people, they have a hard time drinking raw milk, like myself. You know, it's just, that stuff is that's rough, man. That's like the King James Version of milk. Right? It's like the King James Version of milk. And so in order to actually be able to drink like a lot of it, you know, you got to kind of wean yourself onto it. That's what my wife did with my kids. She's just giving them little by little until they can digest it. So it's not like, come on, Bruce, pound the whole thing. Why aren't you drinking the whole thing? No, as my wife, as his mother, is being long-suffering towards him and recognizing that it's not this problem. This is not the problem. The milk is not the problem. It's his ability to digest it. So therefore, we have to give it to him little by little over a period of time until he's capable. I'm talking about you, son. Until he's like, dang, he's talking about raw milk. You know, until he's capable of actually consuming the entire thing, right? Well, preaching is the same way. You know, we're not going to change the content. We're not going to change the raw preaching. Amen. Yeah. It's always going to be raw, uncut, unfiltered. But as the pastor, I have to be long-suffering. In other words, just be patient. And just let people digest it week by week, year by year. You know, throughout the years, they would just slowly understand and get more out of it. I'm sure you know more today than you did when you first came to church. You're able to digest things way more now than when you first came to church. Maybe when you first came, you're just like, it was just like overload, right? When someone first comes and they never heard New IFB preaching before, it's like system overload. They have to like, I'm going to start putting like handlebars like in front of the pews and stuff. They're just like, because they can't like handle it. It's like too much. Whereas people who've been hearing New IFB preaching for years, they're just like, this is good, you know. I love this. Give me more, you know. But people who've never heard it before, it's just like, he said fag. He's cussing from the pulpit. What do I do? It's like that. So what do I do as a pastor? Should I give them, you know, what is that called? Almost meat or what? Beyond meat? It's not even almost meat, right? We're not going to switch the preaching to beyond meat. I'm not going to say, well, you know, we got to tone it down a little bit. No, the preaching is going to stay the same. My long suffering will just continue forward. You understand? So you say, well, how is that? How do you apply that, though? Like, how is that fleshed out? Well, you know, by correcting guys in our church if they get frustrated with people who don't get it right off the bat. Why don't they get this? I don't understand why. It's just like, well, I mean, some people are different than others. Everyone's at a different spiritual level. Chill out. Why are they still pre-trib? I don't know. Probably because they've just been taught that for a long time. We just need to be long-suffering with them. Okay? Help them to digest the preaching. Look, for a lot of people who haven't gone to a New IFB church, an hour-long preaching is a lot for them. Because sometimes they're only used to, what, like 20, 30 minutes? They're just like, this is a lot of information, you know. Now, for people who just like were born again into the New IB, it's just like, keep going, Pastor. Right. Just keep it going. I want more. But other people are just like, I'm full. I'm gonna throw up. You know, they're just like, they can't handle it. What do? We're long suffering, patient, and not condemn someone because they don't understand end times prophecy front to back. They still call Daniel's 70th week the seven-year tribulation. Did anybody get that? No one got that. Okay. Apparently, I need to teach on Daniel's 70th week more. Okay, everyone's like, well, isn't that what it's called? You know, you know, they slip up or they state something incorrectly. You know, be long-suffering. Let's be like a digestive enzyme that helps them to break it down. And by the way, another way to do it is that when I preach something that they don't understand, you're there after the service helping them to understand. Amen. You know, this is why he says this, or this is what we believe, this is what the Bible says, etc. Okay. And lastly here, talking about the essential ingredients to preaching, it says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So the ingredients is that it never spoils. It's often bitter. It promotes healthy growth. It can be hard to digest. Therefore, we need to help them to digest it. But lastly, it has substance because it says doctrine. And doctrine is just another way of saying teaching. We need to teach God's word and just tell you the plain reading of the text, explain the interpretation thereof, and tell you this is what the Bible says. Okay? It has substance to it. It has doctrine. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, because biblical preaching has substance, it will fill you up. Right? It'll fill you up. You're like, I learned a lot today. I got a lot to think about. How many of you have ever heard a sermon where it was just like, that was good, but I need to listen to it again because I have a lot to think about. Like, I need to like listen to that again and just kind of mull over it some more because, you know, I got some of it, but I didn't get all of it. You know what it is? It's just that it fills you up. Cotton candy doesn't fill you up. You know, preaching from these liberal churches will not fill you up. It'll make you feel good. It'll give you that sugar high, maybe. It'll be very sweet. You know, the lights will look like cotton candy, right? It's like the color of the cotton candy. But that's all it's going to do for you. Something that has a substance will actually fill you up, and it will actually be beneficial to you. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 13. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Skip down to verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. When you are spiritually healthy, when you are spiritually full, you will not only save yourself, but you can actually save someone else as well. In other words, you'll not only save yourself from false doctrine, you'll be equipped to save someone else from false doctrine as well. You understand? You can actually benefit those around you when you are spiritually healthy. But you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of churches out there that just are filled with congregants who are spiritually unhealthy. Not only can they not help someone else, they can't even help themselves. I mean, they're barely making it themselves. And look, there might be someone in our church who's like that right now, but I guarantee you the vast majority of people here have enough in them, have enough substance, have enough growth and strength that not only are they able to take care of themselves and keep it together, they can actually lift someone else's burdens as well. They can actually help someone else with their burdens as well. That is a sign of a spiritually healthy individual. You say, well, that's not me. Well, keep eating your protein. Keep coming to church and getting some more preaching in. Get your weekly amount of protein in to be able to bear that weight, carry that weight, so you can carry someone else's weight as well. That should be the goal. These are the essentials to biblical preaching. You say, well, I already knew this. Well, I'm reminding you this again, okay? Because it's important to know the importance, and the Bible tells us, despise not prophesying. You know, throughout the years, we need to make sure we keep these elements, these ingredients, these factors into account, and understand the importance of preaching God's word and what the preaching of God's word is made up of. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We're so thankful for those who have preached the word of God into us, who've led us in the way of righteousness. Lord, help us tonight to think upon these things, give ourselves wholly unto them, so we can not only save ourselves from false doctrines and philosophies and vain deceit,